Roll call. Jenny West, Jason King, absent. Jose Rose Lewis, absent. Tim Lincoln, present. Ross Carson, present. Andy Clark, present. Andy Urban, present. Jim Ashby, absent. Greg Hackenberg, absent. Jennifer Green, absent. Shalonda Corey, present. And Red, present. We have 7 members constituting a quorum.
Great. Welcome to everyone to the New Orleans Historic District Landmarks Commission meeting of January 8th, 2025. We'd like to thank you for attending and appreciate your support and cooperation with the HDLC. The HDLC is located on the City Hall at the 7th floor at the city's one-stop shop. Our mission is to safeguard the heritage and the city of New Orleans by preserving and regulating historic landmarks and districts which reflect elements of its cultural, social, economic, political, and architectural history. The full HDLC mission statement can be found online. The HDLC has written guidelines that outline our policies and procedures. They are available on the city's website. Please determine if your property is in an HDLC district or if your property is an HDLC landmark prior to beginning work or repairs on the property. If the work or repairs are visible from the public right-of-way, the work requires a certificate from the HDLC, which is known as a Certificate of Appropriateness, or a C of A. You must get a C of A prior to beginning work. Once a C of A is issued, changes must be approved before work can commence on these changes. If you have any questions about our policies or procedures, we have a highly qualified staff ready to assist you. Kind of meeting rules that we follow, and we are outside city council chambers today. So if you plan on speaking in or not the applicant, you must fill out a speaker's card and hand it to the staff for the meeting. Those are located on the desk when you came in. We also have meeting agendas there as well. All speakers must state their name and address for the record. Our meetings are recorded and televised. I believe today we are just recorded. Keep that in mind. There is a 2-minute speaking time limit. Please turn all cell phones off or on vibrate, and conversation should be conducted outside of this room. If your application is denied or there is no action vote, you have 10 calendar days from the date of this meeting to appeal to the City Council in writing, and the staff will furnish you with the details of this appeals process. Thank you. Happy New Year. Thank you for being here. And as we mentioned, we are outside the normal space, so just bear with us as we, you know, work through that. But we do have 2 chairs at the front. I'm assuming we're going to have applicants come and sit up front to present with us as well. Thank you. Okay, so with that, first item of business is the to approve the meeting minutes from Wednesday, November 2024. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Redd. Is there a second to that? Commissioner Corey, thank you. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item 3, consent agenda. I'm going to call these addresses. We'll see if we have any public comment on this. Item A, 2738 St. Charles Avenue. Item B, 929 North Robertson Street. Item C, 5200 Dauphine Street. Item D, 837 Desire Street. Item E, 1241 North Rampart Street. Item F, 801 Elmira Avenue. Item G, 5824 St. Charles Avenue. Item H, 3039 and 3047 St. Claude Avenue. Item I, 620 to 22 Louisa Street. Item J, 3308 Esplanade Avenue. I don't have any comment cards on these. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda? Seeing as there's no public comment on the consent agenda, commissioners, can we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Seconded by Commissioner Carson. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you. If you're here for consent agenda, you're free to leave. You do not need to sit through the rest of the meeting. One more time, feel free and get up and leave. have a great afternoon. Thank y'all. Okay, December new business demolition applications, item A, 1022 Balance Street. Do we have an applicant present? Seeing as we don't have an applicant, but I know the staff's recommendation is for approval, I would recommend that we go ahead and hear this one.
All right.
Staff?
This is an application for the demolition of more than 50% of the roof structure at a contributing rated two-story single-family residential building. FEMA research indicates that the single shotgun at 1022 Balance was constructed from 1890 to 1900. The 1893 fire insurance map confirms that the one-story, two-room shotgun had been constructed. The 1909 fire insurance map shows that the rear addition to the original building had been removed and the main shotgun massing had been extended to the rear portion of the parcel. By 1951, a camelback addition and rear exterior fire escape for vertical circulation had been added to the rear portion over the early 20th century additions. The proposed renovation seeks to remove the rear camelback addition and build a new camelback addition closer to the front of the building with interior vertical circulation. The HDLC design guidelines for pool control usually recommends camelback start at least two rooms back and that condition removal of more than 50% is approvable. Staff recommends approval of the demolition of more than 50%.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this application? One more question, is the applicant present or has the applicant arrived for 1022 Valence Street? Okay. No public comment, Commissioner
Lupin? Yeah, I move we approve the 50% demolition this week.
Great, thank you for that. Is there a second to that motion? Commissioner Redd,
second.
All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Item B, 2717 Tulane Avenue, is the applicant present? Please step forward, state your name and address for the record.
Hello, Commissioners. Missy Quigley with Sherman Strategies, 800 Barone Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70113, on behalf of the property owner.
Thank you.
This is an application for the demolition of a non-contributing single-story commercial building to grade. FEMA survey research estimates the construction of 2717 Tulane to have been completed from 1955 to 65. The building is a slab-on-grade commercial building constructed of concrete masonry blocks and clad on the primary facade with brick veneer. The proposed redevelopment plans call for an oil change center and new landscaping. Staff recommends approval of the demolition due to the non-contributing and blighted status of the building.
Thank you. This is in the city district. To the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
Yes, we are removing this extremely blighted building that is a hotbed of drug activity and homeless activity and creating a Take 5 oil change, which we received conditional use approval for last February. We're getting our final round of comments from LDOTD right now because it's on a major thoroughfare. We've had to floodproof the building, which wasn't in the original plan, so it's taking a little bit longer, but we were supposed to be heard in December, and now we're here. We are going to start construction right away, and it's going to be a lot better condition, and the landscaping is going to make a really big difference.
Commissioners, is there any public comment on this application? Seeing as there's no public comment, Commissioner Clark?
I'll make motion to approve the demolition of this non-contributing
building. Thank you. Seconded by Commissioner Corey. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you and good luck with your project.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. December new business retention applications, 2125 North Rampart Street. The site will not be heard today due to the application being incomplete. Item B, 730 St. Ferdinand Street. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Please step forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Kirk Williamson with JLB Construction. We're located at 3400 Washington Avenue in Central City, New Orleans.
Thank you, Mr. Williamson.
Thank you.
Staff?
This is an application for the retention of installation of inappropriate fiber cement trim, fascia, and beam column wraps at the front elevation as part of a new construction of a two-story single-family residential building in deviation of a C of A in full control Marini. While completing, an applicant requested progress inspection of a window mock-up at the site. HDLC inspector observed that all the front gallery trim and wrap elements were installed as flat hardy trim, including some perforated hardy soffit panels, in deviation of the approved drawings in C of A. The HDLC guidelines note that some alternative composite materials may be acceptable for exterior trim at new additions and new construction projects to mitigate wood rot and termite damage. However, it must be a solid material that accurately replicates the dimensions, proportions, texture, and sheen of its wood equivalent. The installation of hardy trim can be problematic at larger, more prominent areas of a building, particularly at the front primary elevation where this double gallery is located directly adjacent to the street. Hardy trim is produced in nominal sizes that vary from equivalent wood elements. For example, the thickest hardy trim board available is indicated as 5/4 inch thick, approximately 1.25 inches. However, the dimension is actually closer to 1 inch in thickness. This size variation can negatively impact the depth reveal relationships between the trim and siding and other elements, and the overall installation can appear too flat due to the smooth fiber cement not adequately replicating the texture, detailing profiles, and shadow lines of wood elements. Additionally, hardy trim can be difficult to rip or cut without special proprietary blades. Modifying hardy often results in edge conditions that are burned or blown out, and which no longer have the factory finished exterior layer. Because of these product constraints, hardy trim is typically only staff approvable at smaller and more limited areas where the dimensional qualities match wood, where cut edges are not visible, and where they are installed and painted to appear like typical wood elements. This is why the approved drawings in C of A noted the approvable locations for composite trim, with larger areas of fascia and beam column wrap specifically noted as not approved. These installation restrictions have also been applied to other newer and more recently reviewed composite materials such as Acre and Muratec. Based on these factors, the high visibility of the hardy trim elements on the front gallery, and because this new construction was intended to replicate a more historic building type style that would have used wood elements at these locations, staff recommends denial of the request for retention of perforated hardy trim and recommends denial of the hardy fascia, beam, and column wrap with the proviso that some small areas of trim, such as column caps and bases, can remain as hardy as installed.
Yeah, and thank you so much. Appreciate it. And thank you for your time today. Again, my name is Kirk Williamson. I'm the CEO of JLB Construction. To be here before you today is a mortal sin for our company. We've probably performed over 200 renovations of historic nature in this city over the course of the last 15 years, and I believe this is the first time ever coming before you. And unfortunately, it's for this issue. As was noted, I think in the call out here, you know, our issue is just the verbiage. You know, we're given some instructions for new construction in these plans that allow for hardy. And then other areas it says maybe it's not after consultation with the inspector. The genesis of this issue really came out when the inspector came out. We had the columns in place and nothing else. So from then on, we have accommodated the cities, all the requests, everything else in this is now wood, can be inspected at this point, except for those columns. And that's only because they were installed just prior to this inspection. And again, we thought we were conforming with the request on stamped on every single page. And it truly is just, it's a disagreement in verbiage. And you know, that given that we've been working with the city to accommodate everything else that hadn't been installed at that point at our own expense. And you know, before today, what is the other notes I had? Are all requested by the inspector. Those have all been updated except for the columns. Also, you know, our home is built with the similar standards. If you go back to that photo a second ago as our neighbor, they also had their fascia, which that project was just completed. And I have other photos of it, was just completed earlier this year, earlier in 2024. And so that conforming nature with the neighbor, you know, that was also a part of our rationale there. And, you know, given the misunderstanding of the verbiage and given that we've altered or accommodated the city, you know, on a lot of this except for those columns, given that we've already incurred, you know, expenses of about $5,000, to be honest with you, and that will increase after this, given if we're having to remove that. And given that it's my birthday, given that it's the Battle of New Orleans and we won that, you know, in 1815, All we're asking for here today is just simply, look, we've done this a million times. Yes, it clearly somebody misunderstood something on this verbiage. We are apologetic. We have been trying to make it right and doing it.
Wrap your comments. You're definitely.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm over. I didn't realize. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know there was. I didn't know the time. I'm so sorry. We're just asking for similar treatment with the neighbor. You know. Yes, ma'am.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate that someone's here from the contractor side to represent the application, so that's great.
Thank you.
I do want to see, is there any additional public comment on this application? There's no additional public comment. This is in my district. I'm not allowed to make a motion, just so you can, you know, I will look to other commissioners for that. I do walk by this regularly. I'm very familiar with this as I've been watching this construction. I do understand JLB's been in construction in this town for many years and obviously knows that our guidelines are what stand, whether or not there's agreement on verbiage, but I will look to the staff just to make sure that we clarify that because there is a back and forth on verbiage, but it does look like it is very clearly noted from the documentation that I can see. So I guess to the staff, will you just answer that question? Just respond to that in terms
sure.
of...
Sure. I think the difference in verbiage maybe between the two that are shown there, where the left side note sort of may be interpreted to imply that some areas could be used as hardy as long as those conditions are followed, where the C of A more specifically notes the areas that are approvable and not. So I think the drawings likely just had the left-hand note, but were called out also as like wood elements in the approved set. And then it's also corresponded in the C of A, but...
Yeah, agreed. And yeah, and so, and that's our point is that, I mean, which one are we going to be held to, you know, so, and this one over here, in the left of when we were reading it, that the Hardy was able for new construction. But also, too, that we will, I mean, given the fact that we've done this a lot, you know, we will adhere to the manufacturer standards as it's called out to make sure that it's smooth finish and all of that. At the end of the day, our house will be, it will look like its neighbors, which was just completed, you know, earlier this year. And I'm, so, you know, I see them side to side, you know, I get it. And I'm so sorry for even being here. Our interpretation was just different, and it's just a difference of words.
Just in the future, for homeowners, contractors, anybody, if you, you know, always ask the questions, staff are available to assist and answer those questions so that you don't end up here, because obviously you're probably delayed in getting your C of A on this property because you don't have...
We're in the middle of inspections. Just too close.
All right. So with that, I'm going to look to other commissioners to comment on this. I'm looking over Commissioner Carson.
Just a couple questions. Can you go back to the photo of the column? Just kind of where you see the ripped trim.
Yes, sir.
On the, so obviously the reason why it says don't rip the trim is because oftentimes that's what you get. And I'm assuming that you guys are going to get out there and sand the heck out of it so that it doesn't look that way.
And warranty it that way.
It seems to me like, you know, that's the reason for the comment that it shouldn't be ripped. And as long as y'all can successfully kind of make this look the way that I'm sure you're going to make it look, then leaving it there, I don't see is too much of a problem. I'm concerned about the soffit panels. Is it just the soffit panels that you see on the edge leaning over?
The perforated?
The soffits have been changed out to wood now, is what I was told. This was as of December 18th, yeah.
So it's not perforated anymore?
Yes, sir.
So item one with this is...
So we have accommodated a lot. It's just expensive, those columns.
So we don't have to rule on the denial of the perforated?
If it's already been removed and replaced, then it doesn't need retention.
I want to, if I could add, just, you know, you need to be consistent with how you know, enforce this, because, you know, there are great precedents that are set, and people do look at other properties. And, you know, we appreciate the work that you do, this is also something that comes before us quite a bit, and we've made other people have to do it. So I just want to keep us consistent.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, and truly,
One question maybe for staff or the applicant. I didn't see any drawing details with this beam wrap or the column in the drawing. So is that fair to say?
I'm looking through the drawings to confirm that.
I bring it up just because I think what's difficult for the staff in this instance is that you can't capture every possible scenario in a two-sentence description on the C of A, describing what material is allowed in what instance. And, you know, for example, I think the verbiage on the C of A says beam wraps, etc. You know, there's no actually addressing the column wrap in particular.
Right.
And so we really need column detail, capital detail, column plan detail, beam, fascia detail. This detail is so common to New Orleans double galleries at this point. I think there should really be a stop detail in the HVAC set. And I just didn't see it attached or in the drawing set. So I think there's that leads to blurriness when you're just trying to align the text to describe it.
Agreed, and thank you.
That being said, I mean, on the column wrap, kind of leaning to where Commissioner Lucas, which is that if there's a method for sanding and finishing that to actually achieve a smooth, lighter, continuous look around the corner, I don't really see the connection. But that one, to me, this image is great to me. The column could be cleaned up. What can't be cleaned up so easily, or maybe it requires more details, but typically this column cap would have a cap detail, and that trim would stick out. None of that is in the drawing set, and so it's difficult to criticize because you have a C of A, on the other hand, there isn't a drawing. So I just think there's probably more here than simply saying that it's the wrong material. question, I guess, for the applicant. Do you have a method for actually cleaning up this corner?
Yes, sir. So I've spoken with our owner and director of operations right now, Jose Vieira, my best friend and boss. He does have a method. He is promising that he can get this to be smooth, to meet the requirements here, you know, to make sure that it does have that mimicking look. He's probably the best builder in the city, and if he says he can do it, I trust him. So we do feel like, yes, we can accommodate the nature of it by making the smooth wood look finish.
Yeah, so I hear Mr. Block's comment about setting precedent here for material, but I really think in this instance, the material is less problematic than the details failing to live up to historic standards. The profile of the porch overhang at the beam is deeper on the front edge of the porch. It's like 3 inches versus almost non-existent on the side. That perforated
porch. Totally.
There's no column capital detail. So I have trouble holding the applicant accountable here since they have C of A without those details.
Agree, and we're not the architect, you know, we're the builder, and unfortunately we're in the middle of trying to interpret. Yes, sir.
So I make a motion to approve the retention of these materials.
Do we have a second to that motion?
Yes, sir.
Motion by Commissioner Carson and a second by Commissioner Lupin. All those in favor? All those opposed? Commissioner Corey? Anyone else opposed?
Chair.
I'll vote as I always do with the majority. Would you like a recap?
Yes.
I'll show him two pictures on the screen and he's going to nod his head and say, I know what's going on. So,
And again, I am horribly sorry, but we will make this right. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck with your project. Yeah,
thank you.
Do not see.
Never. I hate being in the seat. Thank you.
Please ask the questions. Good luck with your project.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you all so much.
Birthday.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank
happy
you.
Birthday. Yes.
Thank you.
Item C, I guess, let the record reflect that Commissioner Hackenberg has arrived. Thank you. Item C, 3011-13 St. Claude Avenue. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Please step forward and state your name and address for the record.
Ron Lazel, Zach Smith Consulting, 1000 South Normacy, Francis.
Thank you.
This is an application for the retention of partial exterior wall demolition at a contributing rated one-story, two-family residential building in deviation of a C of A, including a request for additional exterior wall reframing in full control bylaw. FEMA survey research indicates the Italianate-style residential building was constructed between 1910 and 1920, and it first appears on the 1937 Sanborn map. The current owner purchased the property shortly after it was cited by HDLC for numerous demolition by neglect conditions in 2023. After purchasing the property, the current owner applied for a non-structural renovation application, and a C of A was issued that included corrections for these violations. However, structural works such as foundation, sill replacement, and exterior wall reframing were not indicated in the scope of work as submitted or approved. On October 16, 2024, HDLC staff observed active work at the building, including partial exterior wall removal and replacement that was in excess of the issued C of A and without a corresponding structural renovation permit from safety and permits, and a stop work order was posted. The applicant has subsequently provided additional information on the current extents of exterior wall demolition and photos documenting the previous exterior framing conditions prior to the commencement of this work. Based on the provided photos, portions of the exterior wall framing and foundation sill do appear to show deterioration due to water and or termite damage, particularly where the wall framing meets the sill. However, the applicant should have contacted HDLC staff when these deteriorated conditions were observed and before it was determined that the framing requires full removal and replacement. For example, it is possible that some of the framing could have been sistered to remain rather than removed and replaced with new. Based on this, because the overall amount of wall demolition is relatively low, and because the deteriorated conditions were documented prior to the removal without approval, staff recommends approval of the request for retention and recommends the commission levy a fine within the Tier 1 fine range of $0 to $8,250 for the unpermitted partial exterior wall demolition. Additionally, the applicant has also noted that some of the remaining exterior wall framing is deteriorated and will also require further repair replacement. Per the applicant, 40 feet, or an additional 18.7% of the total exterior walls, must be addressed. Because photo documentation has been provided demonstrating deteriorated wall and foundation sill conditions at these areas, staff has no objection to the requested additional exterior wall reframing, with the proviso that existing framing is sistered to remain rather than removed and replaced wherever feasible at these areas.
Thank you. Does the applicant
need
to address the commission?
Great, yes. I think Dennis, obviously Dennis is great to work with and easy to work with on this here and understands the scope of what the owner happened when he purchased the property. He had bought the property, as you said here, shortly after he bought it. It was cited by HDLC. Normally, the owner would have jumped right on this, but the assessor had, once he had purchased the property, had doubled the value on it, which then stopped the financing for him to continue with the repairs. So he had to appeal with the assessor's property, got that resolved, and then was able to get funding to finish it. Ultimately, the question comes down to, look, he did more work than what was on his scope. Yes, I don't think anyone wants to ignore or deny that. The fact is, as he was going into the property and seeing it, and as he found more damage, instead of just taking the moment, which would have taken a day to get with HDLC and get that approval, he just kept going through the work. And so, yes, mea culpa, sorry on this, but we really ask for a low fine on this because we have worked closely with HDLC on this, and this was just a mistake by someone who does historic renovations that this had not happened before. And we know the tagline here that, you know, yes, he shouldn't have done that, and we admit it.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this application? There's no additional public comment.
Sympathetic to what happened here, and I think the placement clearly needed to happen. So I would make a motion to allow demolition to be done with a fine of $500.
Okay. Motion on the floor. Do we have a second for that motion? Commissioner Lupin. Any further discussion amongst the commissioners on that motion? All those in favor? All those opposed, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, and good luck with the project.
Thank you.
Again, please, I will work with HDLC in the future.
Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. Item D, 1705-07 Louisa Street. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Please step forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Bernard Glapion, 913 South Sulphur Street, and Slidell, Louisiana.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Glapion. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments.
Okay.
This is an application for the retention of installation of a new visible deck and access stair at the rear of a non-contributing rated two-story two-family residential building in deviation of a C of A and full control bywater. The applicant originally received approval to complete an interior and exterior renovation of the building, including removal of a previously existing rear metal access stair for replacement with a new wood stair at the same location. Because this previous stair had existed for over 10 years without citation, it was considered a permitted nonconformity, and the replacement was approved at the staff level. However, the applicant instead relocated the access stair and constructed a new second floor rear deck without approval, which is visible from Louisa and North Drabinghi Streets. The HDLC guidelines note that the design and detailing of new projecting elements, such as balconies and galleries, must be compatible with the existing building, must not damage, conceal, or destroy important architectural features or details, and that decks are generally not permitted where visible from the public right-of-way. While the new rear deck is visible from the surrounding streets, the building is non-contributing rated, has been fully renovated and rehabilitated, the handrails appear to be appropriately detailed, and the new wood stair appears more appropriate for the surrounding historic district than the previous utilitarian metal stair. Based on these factors, staff has no objection to the request for retention of the rear deck and stair.
Thank you. To the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
Yeah, well, I've never done this before. This is my first time renovating a property, and there was an existing stair there. It was metal and it was rusted, and I was told I was able to replace it with this, with the stairs. I just didn't realize that if I deviated a little bit, that it would cause this issue. So that's the reason why I'm here. But I thought I was actually making it, the building nicer and making it better for my tenants. You know.
And, thank you. We appreciate you doing the work and improving the property. Just so you know, any property that's in influences as much for you as everyone else that's in the room and those that are not here. For any property that's in a full control district, all details have full review by HDLC. If it's in a partial district, the rules are different in terms of demolition and review of that. But if you're in question and you don't know, just reach out to the staff. They're here to help.
Absolutely.
And again, a C of A is not charged, so that too in terms of being able to make sure that that's through there. So just want to make sure that's clear, but we appreciate the work on the property. Thank you for being here to let us allow you to ask questions or anything else.
Yes.
I'm going to ask, is there any additional public comment on this application? Do you have additional public comment, Commissioner Carson? This is a file order.
Yeah, I just have one question, I suppose, for staff. Would this typically be required based on typical detail to be painted?
Typically, like, building components that are wood or hardy are required, and it's basically for, like, the durability and longevity, but site elements like fencing and things like that aren't required to be painted, so it could potentially be a requirement here in order to help make it more compatible with the building or reduce visibility, but yeah, we don't typically require it.
My concern is not so much the compatibility with the building, but as raised decks aren't typically allowed, I feel that part of it is the quality of those materials holding up as just an exposed treated material. So my instinct here is to make a motion as such to allow the retention but require painting with this.
I had every intention on staining it using staining, not necessarily painting, but if paint over staining is preferred, I'll do that.
Yeah, I don't think there's precedent in the historic neighborhoods for stained wood open to the sky in this type of condition, so I would just stick with the requirement to paint and working with the staff on the appropriate paint.
A motion on the floor. Do we have a second to that motion?
A second.
Thank you, Commissioner Irvin. Second. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Staff made a motion to allow the retention with the proviso that it is painted and is asking that you work with the staff to obtain that. If you don't agree with that, wish to appeal to City Council, you do have 10 calendar days from the date of this meeting to do so, and the staff will furnish you with the details of that appeals process.
Okay.
Thank you and good luck with your project.
Thank
you. Appreciate
you
being here.
All right, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Okay.
Item E, 432-34 Valerie Street. This application has been withdrawn. Item F, 631-33 St. Ferdinand Street. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Please step forward, state your name and address for the record.
New Alcohol Hatchery Studio Tour, 1239 St. Thomas.
Thank you.
This is an application for the retention of a change in window header heights as part of a renovation and Camelback addition at a contributing rated one-story two-family residential building in deviation of a C of A and full control Marini. The applicant originally received approval to renovate the existing building and construct a new rear Camelback addition. However, it appears that some structural framing and interior floor height issues were discovered during construction that resulted in the contractor completing some exterior window opening changes that were not reviewed or approved by the HDLC in advance. These changes have resulted in several new Camelback window openings, not aligning across the elevation at the left and right sides. The HDLC guidelines note that the fenestration of additions must be compatible in type, rhythm, proportion, and vertical alignment with adjacent existing historic windows, and the header heights of new window openings are generally required to align with themselves and adjacent existing windows to further reinforce this visual relationship and compatibility. Because the applicant has clarified the interior conditions that have caused the exterior window opening deviations, because these framing and floor height conditions do not appear to be easily mitigated to allow for the previously approved window alignments, and because the left side elevation has very limited visibility from the street, staff has no objection to the request for retention of the window header height deviations at the left and right sides.
Thank you. To the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
Yes, for clarifications that we are hired to have a coordination of HDLC, but the construction administration service was excluded. So we were not aware of activities during the construction. So now we are hired back to get the coordination with HDLC again. So that was a kind of history behind, but everything is true. Because of the header height, they couldn't install the window at the same level. And I think there's one window at the stair landing, which is already a little bit awkward place, which may help to not align entire windows.
If I could add one other thing too, is if you see on the photos, the windows are considered inappropriate because they're flush mounted and not installed correctly. They've also agreed to reset, actually one of them is already reset. So the windows will actually be reset into the depth of the wall, so the entire condition will appear much better than it currently does here. With the header heights to remain.
Thank you. That was my first question. Thank you. I've never seen this condition before. I do want to ask, is there any public comment on this application? There's no public comments.
So I have a question. So there was no requirements for all of the windows to at least be lined out. So the ones in the back look flat, like they're just two panel glasses?
Yes.
Roll back down.
The window types at the new addition are oftentimes approved as more simple, so they read visually as being a new addition or change, where like existing wood windows are encouraged to be retained, but they don't need to match exactly in size or type.
But they will be
reset.
Yes, correct.
Often, I think, and given that the applicant is working with the staff, both for understanding and remedying other issues that are on this application, I understand why the staff is working on no objection to the retention. So I don't know if there's a commissioner with any further comment on this application.
I'll make a motion for retention, and just I think the comment was, and I know you all were not the architects of record when this happened, but just again, I think staff would have approved this given the conditions of this building, but just to make sure that you're coming to us if the conditions are found.
And if
there's going to be a change, so we don't have to do it retroactively.
Yes. I agree. Yes. So we have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second to that motion?
So I have another question. So I want to make sure that the comment will say that they'll continue to retrofit the other. There seems to be about four or five that needs to be
recessed. Yes. So I'm happy to amend the motion to say, making sure that they will continue to work with staff to recess the windows.
Yes.
And I think their no objection recommendation is based on the fact that the applicant is working to remedy a number of other items as well. So, yes. Great point. Thank you, Commissioner Ward. Is there a second to that motion? Seconded by Commissioner Hackenberg. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank
you. Right. Considering your business work application, item A, 14716 Gallier Street. Is the applicant present? I have a couple speakers cards, which I'm guessing are both applicant and owner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We need to note for the record that the applicant has repeated.
Okay. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
Daniel Bell, 1209 Toro Street.
Thank you.
Michelle McDermott, 914-916 Gallier.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, this is a request to remove one masonry chimney
as part of a roof replacement at a contributing rated one-story two-family residential building. 914-916 Gallier is contributing to double shotgun residence located in Bywater Historic District. The building was constructed in 1896. According to the Sanborn insurance map, the applicant is requesting to remove one masonry chimney as part of a roof replacement and new interior layout that will require it to be removed. The applicant also cites deterioration as a reason for removal. The HDLC guidelines note that the rhythm and placement of chimneys typically reflects the interior organization of a building and represents an important building feature that should be preserved. Based on the interior photos provided by the applicant and inspection photos taken at the exterior, the rearmost chimney appears to be in fair to good condition, and removal due to deterioration may not be warranted. However, the chimney is only visible from Gallier Street, and the other four chimneys will remain, including the front chimney that is most visible from Gallier Street. Based on this, the staff leaves the decision at the discretion of the commission. Thank you for the report. Does the applicant do wish to address the commission?
Yeah, I would like to provide a little more context to the decision to remove the chimney. My client and her family have lived in the home for over 20 years. Their family has grown and changed, and their needs and use of the space have changed. So in addition to the deterioration in the attic, it has a lot to do with, you know, changing use of the space. And we do intend to remove the chimney at the interior regardless of this committee's decision through a separate permit application that's already submitted. We will obviously respect the decision here today, but in order to avoid additional cost and potential unnecessary risk to my client, we are hoping to get approval to remove the chimney in its entirety so that we're not going through some sort of structural gymnastics to support a brick chimney above the ceiling in the main kitchen and living area of the home.
It's always sad to lose a chimney. We lose so many of them, but this rearmost that is really not terribly visible.
Say that all other chimneys, all four, well, eight now on both sides, have been repointed and repaired, so they're still intact in the home.
And I was just going to add, as part of our roof replacement that's coming, we do intend to do maintenance work on the existing chimneys above the roof line to ensure their durability preservation.
Even better. Okay, thank you, Commissioner Poirier. So we have a motion on the floor. We have a second from that motion, seconded by Commissioner Hockenberg. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you and good luck with your project.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate you coming to us prior to taking it out.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, item, and we can let Commissioner Carson know he can return to the room. Yes. The next one is by water, so. All right, item B3914 Royal Street. Is the applicant present?
Aye.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Mark Berenson, 3914 Royal Street.
Thank you.
Rick Fifield, 600 St. Rock Avenue, New Orleans.
This is a request to install new metal roofing with a lighter color and more reflective finish at a non-contributing rated one-story commercial warehouse building in full control by law. The applicant originally requested to replace the current low slope bitumen roofing with a new R-panel metal roofing at this non-contributing rated warehouse. This work was approved at the staff level with the proviso that the new roofing must be selected with a darker color and less reflective finish, such as black, burnished slate, cocoa brown, or charcoal gray. Following this approval, the applicant is requested to install a lighter colored metal roof with a higher solar reflectivity to provide the building with additional energy efficiency. And these two specific colors that are being requested are sandstone and a typical galvalume finish. The HDLC guidelines note that metal roofs in New Orleans tend to be natural metal or natural copper, or if a painted finish is desired, colors that are similar to metal, such as silver to gray, or black. Additionally, asphalt roof shingles are specifically approved in darker color ranges to replicate the appearance of natural slate, for example. Metal roof color options with a higher SR value are much lighter in appearance and reflect more sunlight, which further distinguishes them and makes them less compatible with existing historic contexts where darker slate or asphalt roof shingles are more prevalent. However, this roof is very low sloped, which reduces its overall visibility from the street, and is primarily only visible at the left side as you approach Bartholomew Street, and only partially visible at the right side through adjacent houses on Alba. Based on these factors, staff recommends denial of the request for galvalume finish due to its light color, very high reflectivity and predisposition for glare, and leaves approval of the sandstone finish at the discretion of the commission.
Thank you.
Does
the applicant wish to address the commission?
Oh, yes. We'd like the commission to consider the alternate roof color, primarily because this is a non-contributing building. The very minimal visibility of the roof surface, that's really out of context with any historic construction in the area, and because of the extreme energy efficiency that will be available to this roof if a lighter color is approved by this commission.
Thank you. So any public comment on this application? Is there public comment? Commissioners?
I just have a question for the applicant. Is the galvalume preferred over the sandstone?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm looking for that color on the materials. You've
got it on the screen.
I just have a question.
Which
one is it?
Galvalume is the top right.
Oh, so it's sandstone. Top right, thank you. Top right. Sorry.
Top
it's
left.
Hard to see on the, and I no, think it's like, it's kind of.
It's essentially the original metal color.
Thank you. I see. Thank you very much. It's hard to see on the pad.
I guess I have a question for staff. Is there is description in the guidelines about natural metals being preferred? And then separately, there's kind of comments that this is being too light. Is galvalume considered a non-natural metal finish?
Seems like it is. Well, it's a treated finish.
It is actually a natural metal surface.
Natural.
Yes.
But treated to reduce
corrosion.
Understood. Yeah, sometimes they paint things, but galvalume, is my understanding, is like zinc coating. So I think my instinct is that this is a natural metal finish. It works with the guidelines, and that it's more historically common to see a metal roof in these neighborhoods that it would be painted. Like the sandstone to me is what you'd see on a commercial warehouse in substance.
I think the only, I mean, given we do see a lot of these metal roof applications, and again, just trying to be consistent, on this one I understand the request for it to be lighter due to the fact that it is a non-contributing and a different style rather than the traditional historic structures that we do see. So I think this is fitting, or this exception is something that we could consider, given that it is non-contributing and more of a warehouse type structure rather than a very low visibility rather than a historic home that has high visibility, which is what I think our guidelines are generally referring to. So I don't, just for discussion, and want to make sure that's clear, if there is a motion, because again the staff is recommending denial, or I'm sorry, at the discretion of the commission on this one, and so I just want to make sure that's clear.
The concern is that it's very light in color, and it has a predisposition for glare. There's a photo I included that isn't this building as an example, but just standard example of what the issue of light, the reflectivity is. That's directly related to its solar reflectivity index. So they're looking for it in order to be lighter, to reflect the sunlight, so it uses less energy to like cool the building and everything.
But
the appearance is a little bit incompatible with the surrounding district. However, at this particular spot, most of the surrounding buildings are vacant or non-contributing, and the roof is very minimally visible due to the low slope.
Yeah, and I share that concern. I mean, I occupy a building that has two metal roofs, one which is less reflective and one that some of those deviation is highly reflective, and it is, the glare on it is pretty incredible if you are adjacent. I do know where this one is, so I guess just site consideration, but I appreciate the staff explaining that, and I agree with that as well. Do we have a motion, or Commissioner Karchi?
Yeah, I think the glare is a concern. Mine is the same as that we should, due to the non-contributing factor of building, allow the applicant to use the galvanized finish.
Thank you. Do we have a second to that motion?
Sure.
Thank you, Commissioner Lupin. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, and good luck with your project.
Thanks. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Dennis.
Item C, 5640 Burgundy Street, with the applicant present.
My name is Jennifer Taylor. Address?
Yes.
Oh, 1115 Lyon Street, 70115. And this is Gabu Mindy, the owner.
Thank you. Do you mind stating your name and address for the record? I assume same address.
Gabu Mindy, 5640 Burgundy.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and will hear your comments following.
This is a request for an installation of a decorative metal pedestrian and vehicle access gate and visibly prominent HVAC equipment at an existing contributing two-story commercial building. 5640 Burgundy Street is a contributing two-story building located in Holy Cross Historic District. The building was constructed sometime between 1920 to 1930 according to the FEMA survey, and doesn't appear until 1937 on the Sanborn Fire Insurance Map. The applicant is requesting to install a decorative metal pedestrian and vehicle access gate, which cannot be approved at staff level. Per HDLC guidelines, for site elements, the HDLC discourages elaborate ornate mental detailing for metal fences except at high style homes. Staff recommends an alternative option by allowing decorative metal gates to be installed as constructed with a simple solid metal security panel installed in the interior side so that the visible prominence of the custom gate design is reduced. So the overall gate appears more like the adjacent opaque wood fencing. The applicant is also requesting to install one new platform-mounted HVAC condenser on the rear covered porch roof and two new wall-mounted mini-split condensers units at the left and right sides of the building. The two units proposed at the rear on the Lamont Street elevation will be visibly prominent from the public right of way. While the HVAC equipment is a modern necessity, the location and installation of the equipment can negatively impact the existing building and surrounding historic district. As per HDLC guidelines, mechanical equipment is required to be located where minimally visible from the surrounding streets. For location A at the rear, due to the high visibility from the street, because of the other locations on the site where the unit could be more appropriately located, staff recommends denial of the request. For location B, due to the high visibility from the street, and because it does not appear to meet the CZO requirements and will likely also require additionally highly visible supply conduit, staff recommends denial of request. For location C, because the area has minimal visibility from the public right-of-way behind the existing site fence, staff has no objection to the request. Staff also recommends the applicant consider relocating the rear-mounted unit to a new location at or near grade in the yard. and relocating the proposed unit to the first floor of Fats Domino Street near the proposed location of
Yes, I mean, we, as far as the gates are concerned, he's already begun to work on them. And if in that neighborhood, there are quite a few elaborate gates. So that's where that came from. And as far as the location of putting the AC unit on the roof in the back is because the programming for the site being a community center, they want to utilize all that yard space and put it, we wanted to get the AC out of the yard so that also the staff recommended that we put it down in this area to the right hand side. I don't know if y'all have this little drawing. Go down a little bit more. Okay, you know, over to the, so that, to the right-hand side of that back porch, but it really is where all of the, you know, everybody's going to be moving around. That's where the stairs and the ramps are, so we don't want to put it in that area. Also, and the handicap ramp is right there. So we were really just trying to get it up and off the ground because there's this huge yard, and we just don't want to have the AC in the middle of this back big deep back porch and then all of the yard. So that's sort of where we're coming from.
Is there any public comment on this application? Just think if there's any additional public comment. Okay. I mean, it's really a very charming building with quite a bit of presence on the corner. So I can understand the staff's concern about maybe putting the HVAC in the back in that location, very prominent and mounted on the second above that piece, so I do understand that component as well as like the decorative gates, because we do, again, it's precedent and we do talk through this regularly about whether those are acceptable or not, so I think this is really a discretion for commission to review. Commissioners?
It is a beautiful building, and the yard around it that they're planning on doing like all kinds of different events and that kind of stuff is it's not only just the building, it's like that whole space is gorgeous.
Looking at this like rear interior side elevation photograph with that number A on it, I mean, you can just imagine it is a very large piece of modern equipment that's on top of
it. It is. I mean, it does have those two little balconies on either side, so we were thinking of doing a similar sort of screening on that to where it would match those two small balconies.
I mean, it does feel like that would really change the historic visibility of this. So, I mean, even looking at this, I tend to lean towards a strong recommendation to keep it on the ground but mounted on a, like, off the ground with and fence that component where the staff recommended, because again, I mean, what a charming, like, incredible building.
Well, the one thing is so the I should have put it on the drawing, but, you know, the staff recommended it go, you know, onto the right-hand side of this building.
Is there a photo of where that would be?
I mean, I can point it out in the photo.
I don't see what C. I see A and B, but I don't see where
C is right over there.
Oh, it's hard to see with the got it.
Yeah, and C is approved. And so below C, like sort of in that area, is where they were recommending putting the other condensing unit, but that is right in that in between of where our steps are and all that kind of stuff.
Is it possible to put it on the other side of where the stair and the ramp is? Or is
that's what I'm wondering right now, too, Gabu. Yeah. Like, what about right here?
Does that make sense if you're looking at the plan? Like,
if we put it up against the fence, like, could we put it down on the ground but way over here?
Just by the gate.
You got it right there. It looks like there's a disconnect or something else that's over there already, but I'm wondering, that would be kind of maybe the least visible and meet your needs and maybe be a compromise between staff's request
and everything
else. I hate to see you put it where you're requesting. I understand why.
Yeah. Yeah, we just really don't want to put it on where the staff requested, but so Gabu, like,
if you look at this here,
could we sneak it before the gate, get it right in here? But there's a little bit of space.
You have a disconnect.
Okay.
The power and disconnect has not been connected there.
Okay.
You might be able to pull it out and figure out how to get
something
in
the midst of
Yeah, I mean, I can see it under there too. I'm just, it looks like you have enough space.
Right.
Especially if it was lifted.
Lifted, and we could.
Fenced. Then you sort of have your.
I mean, if we could figure out a way to put it over there with the HVAC person.
You can talk to them and okay. then see what if the problem you're having with getting the. Supply lines.
Gotcha.
The supply lines
all the way
because
down.
The central unit is going to be upstairs. The split units are for downstairs.
Okay.
So the central, getting the supply line from upstairs to come all the way down to the ground is the best.
And I think you would have to look with, you would have to talk to HVAC about the lines that run
yeah.
to see if that's possible.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like to propose rather than us making, if it's possible to defer this application.
Okay.
To see if we can come to.
Or if we are able to figure out a way to put it in that space, could we get that approved through staff?
I think we could probably make a motion today to see if that's possible.
Like if we could get to that solution, we could get a staff approval.
The full site is fenced off, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It seems to me any ground-based location on a stand would be acceptable. That would give them flexibility to figure that out.
Okay.
So I think we're in agreement on that, and we really appreciate you working with us because I think we're all in agreement. We want to put this in the right spot to allow for your use and to preserve the building.
Yeah. And the space of that yard. Yeah. We just want to make sure the yard is accessible for everything.
And then I think we also have we need to review the gates, the other component to this.
Make sure these big units are okay.
So,
They're not really marked on here. There's one going to be, those are right there. They're big. And then over here, you see there's those two spots there.
So the one on the left is 4 feet.
And it's a pedestrian gate, and then that's a car gate.
And then there's a car gate, that's a slider. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on the rock, on wheels. And that's going to be 12 feet. And the one in the front is 6 feet, and it's going to be a double door, two pieces to open and close.
And so the guidelines, I realize they're being fabricated or partially, it looks like they're mostly fabricated here. Again, our guidelines don't have highly decorative gates because it takes away from the historic nature of other elements.
Is the highly decorative part of it, is it the middle aspect of it, or is it just the way the design is built?
Generally, the design itself wouldn't be what we would review. I'll look to the staff on this, but I'm wondering if there's a way to amend it. Commissioner Rett.
Oh, I was just going to ask, did you have the gates made? Were they donated? Where did the gates come from?
They were based off of some original.
These were original. If you look at these, are wrought iron gates that have been, unfortunately, you didn't see the original design. And so we took the middle pieces and the designs that where you have the angles that comes on. It is a local design that we picked it from.
Where did the center part come from?
The central part.
Is it part of this building, or you're saying you got them from somewhere else?
It's part of another building that we wrote.
Oh, another building. That's okay. Thank you. I'm just trying to figure out their own.
Right.
And if we have to take out the wrought iron pieces. Because those are going to be added on, we can take out the wrought iron pieces and just keep the arches.
Arch looks.
That's why I was wondering is if we could come to a compromise.
Remove the wrought iron and then
we can
just
remove the wrought iron and just keep the designs as it is.
And so that's the highly decorative part of the
middle.
The ones in the middle, we can take those out and just leave the arches because those are the design.
And I do think as far as putting just a black panel behind it, we want the visibility through it just as far as not having it be so blocked off from the street as far as people walking in and that kind of stuff. So if we could keep it a little more visible, but if you're willing to, negotiate on that wrought iron, I think we can do the rest.
Because those pieces have been cut and to be welded, and they can just be de-welded.
To take that off,
The angles can be now just incorporated where we can put something else beyond besides that.
And I think the drawing and the actual fabrication are slightly different between those two versus four. So if we can just work with the staff on what
removing that and
space,
simplifying a little bit.
Yeah, I think that.
The drawings is what you can see the design already. The arches, the wrought iron pieces that was going to go in the middle. And those things can be taken out
because
where we have to cut it. and just make sure the artists come back.
And I'll make sure we send something in that's very clear.
Just in case there's something that needs to be, if there is an info piece or something that happens in there, that it is
approved.
Is approved.
Gotcha.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
The one last thing I want to make sure we bring up was B on there was another mini split that was the condenser was put right on the side. I just want to make sure we go through everything. It's the drawing on the left hand side. So he's requesting to put the condenser on that wall, but I heard y'all mention the CZO wouldn't allow it because it's on the property line or like sitting directly on the street, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not allowed by zoning.
Zoning did mention that they don't have no objections to safety and fairness are obviously actions.
I think we would probably have objections to it because it's highly visible. It's also probably just from a security standpoint, not the best location for it long term either. So I think we would look for an
Well, when I'm working with the HVAC person, I'm going to figure out if we could, if there's another place we could put that that's not as visible, that's not going to...
The problem with that is...
Just because you've got those two rooms here.
You have
here.
These two rooms, and they have, there's a steps in between, so you cannot cross the lines between one space to the other space. That was our problem.
I think if you work with, I hear what you're saying. I've run into this on projects myself. I believe that you'll probably work together with HVAC to see if there's a least visible place, because even if we did approve this, which I don't believe that this commission would just due to its high visibility, you're going to run into an issue at safety and permits with it overhanging the public right-of-way. So I think we're going to need to find another solution to cross those interior rooms, which I believe you'll probably work out.
And then that's something we could probably do as staff as well, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so we'll set up a meeting with the HVAC guy, and then we'll get this approved so you get back on it.
Okay. We want to keep you moving.
Yes.
We want to make sure that we get this. We really appreciate you both being here and working with us. Come up with great ideas yourself, so thank you. Okay, so do we have a commissioner who's willing to make a motion on this one? Walk us through it. Okay. So I think we have item A is the decorative metal gates, which we've agreed
to retain them, but
remove the cast iron in the middle, and that any future additions or work to those will be reviewed with staff. Item B would be the visually prominent HVAC equipment. We have two items. One is on the street level. Deny that request for the current location as proposed, but encourage the applicant to work with staff for a staff approvable location, which we believe they can do. And then item C is the visually prominent HVAC unit in the back that was noted on this photograph, to also deny this request for this location, but work with staff to find an approvable location.
And I think we also said to approve any, that we would go ahead and approve anywhere that would be on the ground.
Yes.
Was that part of what you suggested? Yeah.
Great idea. So that is it. So I think that's the motion.
What you said.
Okay, great. By Commissioner Poirier. And seconded by Commissioner Smith. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you so much for working with us. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Working with the staff. And thank you again.
All right. Thank you.
Great project.
Yeah. Okay. January new business demolition applications. Item A, 1611 La Harpe Street. Applicant present. Please step forward, state your name and address for the record.
Yes, Elena Lurie, 1611 La Harpe Street.
Thank you for being here. The staff will make their presentation.
This is a demolition of a contributing rated one-story single-family residence, building to grade. FEMA survey and Sanborn map research indicates that the original building was likely constructed sometime in 1860 and does not appear on the Sanborn map until 1893 as a one-story single-family residential building. The estimated date of construction is in the middle of a period of significance for the local historic district and is a contributed rated building. The building also appears to have retained nearly all of its original scale, massing, sizing, roof form, and footprint to the state. Reconstruction of this building's craftsmanship and original decorative details would be difficult and unlikely and potentially cost prohibitive.
The one-story Creo College building appears to have retained majority of its original character-defining architectural features, such as its steeply pitched side gable roof that extends over the front facade to preserve provide rain protection over the windows and doors, the original weatherboards, trim, brackets, and chimney. However, some of the other building and architectural fabric observed on the building, such as the enclosed transom, doors, and windows, appear to be new and not original to the building. The building was constructed with stick frame superstructure that rests on masonry piers. The roof is covered with asphalt shingles, and the exterior walls are covered with wood clapboards. A visual inspection was done on December 3rd, 2024, after a fire on October 6th, 2024. The fire damage is clear from the large section of the roof shingles that are missing. The fire severely damaged ceiling joists, wall studs, and enclosed transom. The missing doors and windows have left the building open to the elements, which will lead to continuous deterioration of the building. For those reasons, staff did not enter the building for further detailed inspection. It is clear that the rehabilitation of a building in this state would be costly and would likely leave little of the original structure intact. For the above mentioned reasons, staff have no objection to the demolition to grade.
Thank you. Thank you for the report. The applicant did wish to address the commission. I assume you're in agreement with the staff's recommendation.
Absolutely.
Great. Do we have any public comment on this application? Seeing as there's no public comment, this is an Escalade Ridge Partial Control District. Don't file a commission report. Commissioners, does anyone want to make a motion?
I make a motion to staff's recommendation.
Thank you. Commissioner Ford, seconded by Mr. Hackenberg. all those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you and good luck with your project.
Thank you.
Item B, 80 Audubon Boulevard. This application was removed from the agenda. Item C, 2924 Louisiana Avenue, also removed from the agenda. Item D, 1400 South Carolina Avenue, also removed from the agenda. Item E, 1480 North Johnson Street, also removed from the agenda. January new business retention application. Item A, 2212 Worth Place. Is the applicant present? Step forward, state your name and address for the record.
Reggie Reginelli, 46 Beresford Drive, 70001.
Thank you for being here.
Daryl Reginelli, 307 Connect Street.
Great, thank you for being here. The staff will make their presentation and your comments following.
This is an application for the retention of the demolition of more than 50% of the roof at a contributing rated one-story single-family residential building without a certificate of appropriateness. On October 30th, 2024, an application was submitted for the structural renovation at 2212 Worth Place. The scope of work included the removal of over 50% of the roof structure in order to accommodate more interior living space, which required HDLC commission approval. On Monday, November 25th, 2024, the applicant was emailed the commission agenda for the December 4th, 2024 commission meeting. The December 4th, 2024 commission meeting was canceled due to the applicant's failure to publish the legally required public notice due to issues surrounding the Thanksgiving holiday week. The applicant was notified the meeting was canceled and the item would now be slated for the January 8th, 2025 commission meeting. After a phone discussion with the building owner on December 18, 2024, an HDLC staff member performed a visual inspection of the property, noting that the project had moved forward without receiving a certificate of appropriateness from the HDLC or a building permit from the Department of Safety and Permits. The building at 2212 Worth is front-facing to Worth Place and rear-facing to Nashville Avenue. Any additions to the previously existing one-and-a-half-story building would have had to adhere to zoning setbacks and would not allow for the expansion of the ground floor footprint. HDLC staff agreed that working toward a vertical solution for the building expansion and keeping with the style of the building would have been a path forward for an approval recommendation to the commission. HDLC staff would have recommended HDLC commission approval of the proposed project had the December 4th, 2024 meeting been held. However, the project commenced without a certificate of appropriateness from the HDLC or a building permit from the Department of Safety and Permits. For the aforementioned reasons, staff recommends the approval of the retention of the demolition without a C of A with a Tier 1 fine.
Thank you. So the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
only to say that we acknowledge, or I acknowledge, it was my fault. I jumped the gun, and it was because the architect who is not here today had led me to believe, my brother and I have renovated for years and years uptown, and we have never had to come before a hearing like this. In fact, we never knew this even existed. We had renovated a double on Ferret Street a couple years earlier and never had any issues or had to come before the HDLC. And my architect didn't know it either, which was a little bit of a problem. But the bottom line is I jumped the gun because I was led to believe that everything was okay and that the permit from the city would be forthcoming. And that's my fault. And whether I knew about the HDLC or not, you know, that's the bottom line. But so I ask that you keep in mind the years of our support for historic buildings and trying to maintain them, as we have in this particular project. We're using every existing window, every door, every hardware, everything that we can to maintain its historic significance. And so, other than that,
thank you for your comments. Do you want to see, is there any additional public comment on this application? No additional public comment. Just for those, again, this is whether I'm in council chambers or here recorded, I'm going to make the statement. You should not be starting construction without a building permit that is posted to your front, to the window, along with an HDLC C of A, which is why I, you know, always make that the same kind of intro speech every time to remind folks. You do a lot of work, you understand that. Building owners, contractors, anyone needs to understand that, with or without your architect understanding that. But if you don't have those two things in place, the work shouldn't be proceeding. You obviously went ahead and proceeded at risk. You understand that. So we're in agreement with that. We do understand that December meeting was canceled, and that the staff would have recommended this be approved, and we do appreciate that you're, you know, within the footprint. This is all things that we've seen here in terms of reviews of demolition. We understand kind of what's in front of us, so we appreciate that. But just, again, reminder for the public and anybody else, building permit and C of A on construction, and Uptown is a partial district, which means we review the demolition. So with that, Commissioner Lupin, within your district.
Sure. I mean, it looks like you guys are doing a great job on this building, and I applaud you for trying to keep everything out there. Along with the additional work comes work with the staff to make sure that we, you know, this board, which we're supposed to do, we're not removing anything else. So I'm going to move to retain. Just for precedent, though, I would like to add a tier one fine of $750 on this.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second to that motion? Commissioner Carson seconds that motion to allow the retention of the demolition with a fine of $750. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you and good luck with your project. If you wish to appeal with HDLC's decision, you have some time today as we're meeting this meeting to appeal to City Council in writing. We really appreciate your work on this property, and in the future, please hopefully we can have the meetings as needed, and you can proceed to make sure you have building permits.
I appreciate it.
And see your base in place.
The HDLC never came into play until we received the email about the meeting. We didn't know that the city had forwarded any kind of and then I realized reading it, he didn't even understand why it was demolition needing 50% of the roof line.
And
so I realized that after reading the condition.
And to his point, it's kind of a mess. I didn't put it But Safety and Permits sends out they're semi-auto-generated emails to applicants that have different requests. And looking through the journal in there was multiple emails sent to the architect, Mr. Krasnow, that I believe the first one didn't say anything about the HDLC. There's two more emails, you know what I mean? So there is some of that, but there was communication with the architect from our department.
Yeah.
Over that, for that other meeting. But to their point of these communications from Safety and Permits outlining the needs, usually it's like a signed contract or whatever. It is confusing and usually sort of text styles and fonts, if you will, and sizes.
So it does
get a little...
Yeah. I understood it just,
If I can make a recommendation, so for everybody who applies for anything, the city on one stop, had all the records are public. So you can go on one stop, see where your permit is, and if I'm looking at this particular permit on one stop, and within here, the status information, it reads HDLC signs and postcards, HDLC New Orleans hearings, and it indicates that it's not. So at any point, whether your architect is communicating with you or not, you can look on one stop, see where you are, see if it's not complete, see if it is complete, and then ask the question, what is this going
to be? And just so you know, too, the system now, and things have changed over the last year, you can also have additional notified applicants to it. So for multi-headed projects that we have both owners, owners, reps, contractors, you can have them in the notification system so that everybody gets the same thing. If you are developing multiple properties, you probably should look into that. Just so, because again, stuff happens, people get sick. Just make sure you're traveling, you have all of that information. So again, we appreciate it. I think the fine was modest. So
I understand. Yeah. I appreciate the time and the consideration. Yeah.
Thank you.
And thank
Good luck with your project.
Yeah, thank
you. Look forward to seeing it finished.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, item B, 2633 St. Claude Avenue, is the applicant present?
Hi.
Flip. Appreciate your patience. You were the last one. It's here today, so thank you for sticking with us. Please state your name and address for the record.
William Leon, 2509 Dauphine Street, New Orleans.
Thank you. The staff will make the presentation from the dear comments
This is an application for the retention of the installation of visually prominent roof-mounted commercial hood vents at a contributing but altered rated one-story commercial building without a C of A and full control Marini. A mechanical fuel gas application was submitted on May 13th to install a new gas line to supply one stove, two fryers, and one tankless water heater. HDLC staff emailed the applicant on the same day to request confirmation on the water heater location and to verify if any other exterior equipment was proposed that may be visible from the surrounding streets. No response was received from the applicant for 3 months until a follow-up email was sent to request the necessary information again. The applicant then responded and noted that the water heater would be installed at the interior and there was no other exterior equipment proposed. However, it appears the two very large and visually prominent hood vents were installed at the rear portion of the building as part of this work without HDLC or safety and permits approval in advance. The applicant has subsequently applied for the hood vent installation separately, which has been approved by safety and permits, confirming the current installation meets code and CZO requirements. Ideally, the new vents would have instead been located on the opposite side of the roof ridge so that their appearance and impact could have been minimized along the more residential Port Street side. However, because this necessary commercial equipment is already installed at the building and relocating it to the opposite side of the ridge could be cost prohibitive relative to its mitigating impact, staff has no objection to the request for retention of the hood vents as currently installed.
Yeah, I'm just trying to clean up that area there. It's been an eyesore in the Marini for quite some time. We're trying to bring a new business to the city. Actually bringing some of the foods from Acadiana, because I'm from St. Marvel. I've been here 5 years. So I was the project manager for the COVID hospital. But I've never did business with the city, and I apologize for even being here, because if I'd have known this, I would have taken care of this from day one. It was a mishap. I'm just trying to beautify that corner and clean it up and get a new business here in the city.
I appreciate it. Again, this is my district. I buy this food pretty regularly. It's highly visible. Mm-hmm. So please work with the staff. We have the
Definitely.
On the other side. We have the street on
yes,
the
I've
side.
Invested too much in it. I'm going backwards.
My question for the staff, and I know this from personal experience, I'm working at a lot of restaurants. So the city is going to require a platform for that phone, most likely?
I was thinking it may, but I think the height's below 16 feet, I believe.
I'm just
and it's already been approved by safety and permits.
That it's been worked through to make sure that if that is, that the like details of that are minimized, because again, required, but just make sure that that's being worked through. I think this item had the hood, and then the second was the material of the paneling.
The applicant right before the meeting agreed to remove the new paneling that's okay. larger size, and we'll replace it with something that matches the surroundings that was removed.
The issue was the width of the bevel. The reason I changed it, because when we were walking outside, a piece fell off, and I didn't want to hit a pedestrian, so I just, and then when I put my hand in it, I could put my hand through the wall, so I just went and get a few sheets.
You can
and
see it in the photo.
Yeah, you see what I mean?
Yeah, so it's an unusual installation and different than what we really call for. Mm-hmm. Again, great, that takes that item off the list, so.
Can I ask you guys a question while I'm here, because I don't want to have another issue?
Sure.
Color-wise. I wanted to paint the building like a dark blue-gray with a white trim.
Anything you'd like.
Anything you would like.
Okay, I just want.
No, great question.
Because I have all my savings is in this thing right now, and I'm and then when I got this, I stopped working. I stopped working on the building whenever I got notified by you guys, because I didn't want to have any other issues. So what I want to do is I want to beautify that corner, make it nice, make it bright, make it clean, make it neat.
We don't have, we often have opinions, but we don't have guidelines on paint. So if you want an opinion, the staff I'm sure are here, but. Yes, that we do not have jurisdiction over paint color. So with that, I would like to do a motion.
Okay.
You have something else.
I can answer any questions you have, too.
But I do have something I know want to move through this one. So,
yes, ma'am.
So with that, can we do, is there any public comment to this application? There's no public comment. Commissioners, do we have a motion for this one?
I make a motion to allow the retention with the note that they're replacing the siding to match and that any platform details that are required for the equipment be worked out.
Thank you. Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Commissioner Clark, second. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love your project. We can happily answer any other questions if needed. I have literally two more items to get through. If you want to hang back in this meeting, we'll be here. I'm going to move through them because I have Commissioner Soup. I know I have one that has to leave. So
thank you. I appreciate
thank you
guys.
Very much, and good luck with your project.
Thank you.
Item C605-07 Bartholomew Street has been withdrawn. Ratification of Architectural Review Committee and Staff Actions for November 6, 2024 meeting. Can we get a motion to approve those? Commissioner Carson makes a motion, seconded by Commissioner Hackenberg. All those in favor, all those opposed, the motion carries. HTLC reports and communications. No reports or communications. With that, we'll join the meeting. Happy New Year to everyone, and I look forward to the 2025 holds. So, thank you all for being
here. I have a quick
question.
There was more items from new demolitions that came off the.
Those four demolitions?
Yeah.
They were all pulled for different reasons.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
But sometimes it says like incomplete or withdrawn and
they were all pulled different.
Right.
One was
for full on demolitions or more just for
50%? No, those were full on demolitions. One didn't ever have an inspection. They never got back to Daniel and I. The other one in the Treme, that's a city IDC, but I've been working with her for like 2 years.